You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Well, hello there! This is Gary Gnu from the Great Space Coaster, and you and I are listening to the Flopcast! Yes, and let me tell you a little bit more about my career. Hey, wait, where are you going? Wait a minute, come back! Come back, I have more to tell you about myself! I'm really important. Really? Talk to me, please.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 359.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Hi, Kevin.
I feel thoroughly unprepared for today's show.
So now you know how I feel all the time.
This will be a nice casual conversation, I think. We heard about your trip to MarsCon last week.
I'm still kind of recovering from that.
It will not take me too long to bring you up to speed on what I did while you were gone. We'll see how it goes. First, however, Cornflake, what do we have for National Whatever Day?
You know who's turning 85 on March 26th?
85?
Yeah, 85 years old.
I'm going to go Marion Ross from Happy Days.
She might be. I don't know. I didn't look her up.
Not a bad guess.
Yeah, it's a pretty good guess.
Come on. What do you have?
Alan Arkin.
Alan Arkin, yes.
Now, 85 times around the sun. He's done quite a few movies.
And around the moon.
He probably has. Got around the moon for all we know.
85 times.
Approximately.
Yeah. I don't know. I haven't worked all that out astronomically. My math might be off.
But yeah, Alan Arkin, he has this whole career of movies.
I'm surprised you bring him up. It doesn't seem like a cornflake kind of an actor.
I liked Little Miss Sunshine. That came out in 2006.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
And he won a ton of awards for that.
Right.
Including, you know, an Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. He played the creepy, drug-addicted grandpa who teaches the little girl in the movie.
Yeah. I was up for that part, by the way.
I think you could have knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. I don't mean Alan Arkin's part. I mean, I was going to be a Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh, you were going to be the little girl.
Yeah.
He's the one that teaches her the dance to Super Freak.
Is this a good movie? Would I like this movie? I did not see it.
Are you an indie flick sort of person?
Sure.
I think you would like Little Miss Sunshine then.
Is there a creepy van in it?
Yes.
Oh, I'm in. They have a Chevy van?
That's
all right with me?
It's a creepy family van, but it's a creepy van.
Perfect.
Yes, a lot in the movie goes on in that van.
So that's what you know Alan Arkin from? Anything else?
That's really where
that's what you've seen
what
him
I know him from.
What about Slums of Beverly Hills?
He was also in the remake of Get Smart.
No, I didn't see that.
He's still active this year. I guess Dumbo is getting a reboot. The movie Dumbo. And
he's in the new Dumbo?
Yeah.
I think there's a new live-action Dumbo.
Yeah.
With, I assume, a CGI elephant. Would I be correct?
I sure hope so.
Yeah.
At any rate,
there's only two guys in a costume.
You wouldn't want to be the back of Dumbo. That's what my mom always told me. He's done everything from appearances on The Muppet Show to Sesame Street to Carol Burnett and Company. He was even on Will and Grace at one point.
Mm-hmm.
So he's pretty much been everywhere.
Slums of Beverly Hills.
Okay, tell me about this, because I had no idea what you were talking about.
I keep coming back to it because it's the only thing I've seen him in. This was like 20 years ago, I think, late 90s. It's him, Alan Arkin, Marissa Tomei is in it.
Oh.
She's like the cousin or something.
Whatever happened to Marissa Tomei, do you know?
Yeah, she's Aunt May in the new Spider-Man movies.
Oh.
Yeah, because Aunt May used to be like a doddering, confused old woman, and now Aunt May is hot. Now it's Marissa Tomei. So Aunt May's come a long way. Natasha Lyonne was the daughter in this movie. So this is Alan Arkin's daughter, and people know her from Orange is the New Black. And the mayor and I just watched her in this weird new one of those Netflix shows. Because, you know, there's a million TV shows now that you can't even keep track of them anymore. This bizarre show called Russian Doll.
I never could keep track of them, but Russian Doll I've heard about.
You've heard of Russian Doll? She's the star of Russian Doll. Oh. It's Natasha Lyonne. And she keeps, like, reliving her birthday again. And she wakes up, she's at her own birthday party, but then she'll leave the party and get killed. And then suddenly she's back at the party. And it's bizarre. It's very cool. But that's Natasha Lyonne. We're here to talk about Alan Arkin. I know his son is Adam Arkin.
Yes.
Also an actor. And Adam Arkin I know best from Northern Exposure. Remember Northern Exposure?
Yeah.
Weird little town in Alaska?
Yeah.
It was so good. Northern Exposure. This is from the early 90s, early to mid 90s.
Yes.
And he had a recurring role. He was not on every week, but they'd break out Adam Arkin every once in a while. He was like this, like a mythical guy. There were stories of this guy that just lived out in the wild, and then it turned out to be this real guy named Adam. The character's name was Adam on the show. So I saw quite a bit of Adam. His father, Alan, I think I've only seen the one time.
He's one of those versatile actors that...
Yeah, he could be anywhere. Chameleon-like. He could be in the room with us right now.
He could be.
Yeah. See, now's where you rip the mask off your face, and it's, oh...
Cornflake's actually an 84-year-old man about to turn 85.
Happy birthday. In person, I can now in person wish a happy birthday to Alan Arkin, because he's right here, and he's you.
This is a bit much.
Oh, well, there's your homework. Check out Slums of Beverly Hills and Russian Doll. He's on one of those.
Decent plan of action. He may be on both, for all we know.
He could be, yes.
He plays the Russian Doll.
What did I have for you today? While you were away... at MarsCon, although I guess that you might have been back from MarsCon by the time this happened, but I did have a little trip of my own. I left the state. I left New England very briefly.
Must have been for a good reason.
It was for a very good reason.
One would presume.
Cornflake, it was for the monkeys.
Whoa.
You know, the monkeys?
The two remaining monkeys.
We only have two monkeys left. A very recent development. And yeah, man, we're still mourning, of course, the loss of Peter Tork. But meanwhile, just by coincidence... Mickey and Mike, our two remaining monkeys, had a tour scheduled to start like a week after Peter's death.
Yeah, but it had long since been in the works.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So what happened is last year, Mickey and Mike announced a monkey tour, which surprised everybody for a few reasons.
Mike doesn't like to go on tour.
Yeah, Mike traditionally never wanted a tour. Then in 2012, after Davey died, then Mike decided, you know what, let's tour. So they did a tour. It was Mickey, Mike, and Peter. And the mayor and I road tripped out to Buffalo, New York to see that tour because we didn't trust that Mike was ever going to want to do this again. And they were not coming any closer to us than New York. So we thought this might be our only chance to see Mike Nesmith with the monkeys. So we went out there and saw that show. Then, of course, they extended it. They toured again the following year. Now, by the time of the 50th anniversary, and they did a 50th anniversary tour in 2016, Mike did not tour that year.
That was the year I saw them.
You saw them? Yeah, that was Mickey and Peter. And Mike was writing his book. He wrote a book that year. He said, I have a book due. I'm going to stay home and write my book. So he did a handful of shows with them that year, but not many. He popped up for a couple of shows. They did a big show in Los Angeles with the three of them, with Mickey, Peter, and Mike. And Mike at that time said, you know what? It's been a great run. It's been 50 years with the monkeys. This is it. I'm done. And that was kind of, he made it seem like, thanks, but this is the end of me with the monkeys.
Right.
What more can we ask? You know, they put out the album that year. The Good Times album came out, and Mike was a big part of that. It was fantastic. So we thought, okay, that's the end of Mike with the monkeys, but...
Let him be.
Yeah. So then they kind of caught everybody by surprise last year when they suddenly announced, you know what, we're going to go do another monkeys tour. And it also surprised everyone that it was just Mickey and Mike, because everybody said, wait a minute, where's Peter? And we were told, no, Peter's not going to tour. It was for a couple of reasons. A big reason, though, was his health. Mm. Peter was already in a poor health last year. Yeah. They were trying to keep it private,
right.
Of course. So off they go. They did a short tour last year. And again, the tour was not scheduled to come anywhere near us. They were not coming up to New England on this tour. It was a pretty limited tour. Then a friend of the mayor's down on Long Island, Felicity's friend Jan, said, hey, I want to go see the monkeys. They're coming to Long Island. You should come down here and join me. So we got invited to go down to a monkeys concert on Long Island last year. And then Mike got sick.
Right.
Mike had a health emergency. So a few shows got canceled off the end of that tour. They cut the tour short. So we did not go to Long Island last year. Then they rescheduled the shows for this year, for March.
I remember you wondering when they were going to reschedule the shows.
So now we're back on to go to Long Island. Just to make it more ridiculous, they added a Boston show.
But you already got tickets to go to New York.
Yeah, as long as they're going out on tour again, they added a few more dates, including Boston. And we have friends who went and saw them in Boston. Nikki Luparelli. Nikki went to the Boston show because she's a Monkees super fan like we are. And I said, Nikki, I'm not going to the Boston show because we're going to Long Island because we already have tickets from the canceled show from last year. So it was a little goofy, but off we go. You know, I do like a ridiculous road trip to see a show. You and I have both done that many times.
Yes.
So off we go to Long Island. And this was not just a road trip. This is a water trip. I've not been to Long Island in years. I'm going to say in decades. Have you been there?
I got lost there once in 2003.
Wow.
I was trying to find to New York City and I missed.
You were trying to get like from here to New York?
Yes.
And you went to Long Island?
Accidentally.
Interesting. Some kind of bridge mishap?
Yes. I didn't take my car in the water.
Remember my prog rock band bridge mishap? We were awful.
Yes. That's because you were a prog rock band.
Anyway, yeah, from the New York side. Hey.
Sorry.
On behalf of Genesis, I'm very insulted by that. Yeah, from the New York side, there are bridges to Long Island, yes. I believe, and you must have been on one of those bridges.
Yes.
Against your will.
Yeah, completely and totally.
From the Connecticut side, you're too far away. They don't have a bridge. They've got ferries. You ride the ferry from Connecticut to Long Island. I have not been on a ferry to Long Island in decades. I've done it before, but I think not since I was a kid. Have you been on one of these ferries, like where you drive your car on?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what they've got going to Long Island.
Because they have that going out to the Vineyard from Massachusetts.
Sure. Oh, yeah. And Felicity, the mayor, has done this a few times in recent years. She's had cause to go to Long Island. But we drive onto the ferry, and then we're on this giant crazy boat with all the weird people. You've seen those people. The ferry people.
Yes.
Yeah, very strange. And I always think of Davy and Goliath, because there's an episode of Davy and Goliath, it's called Jeep in the Deep, in which Davy and his father drive their Jeep onto a ferry, and then they're on the upper deck, and they're looking down, and, hey, Dad, there's our Jeep.
Oh, dear.
And then the Jeep starts rolling back and forth and rolls overboard and sinks into the ocean.
Oh, wow.
Thus the title of that Davy and Goliath episode, Jeep in the Deep. Davy and his father got to suit up in scuba gear and go down with the recovery crew. And they go underwater and hook up the Jeep on a line and haul it back up out of the water.
Like a big flopping Jeep fish.
Yeah, the dog had to stay on deck. Ah. They didn't let the dog go scuba diving.
No scuba gear for the dog.
Right, but Davy and the father go down. And while they're down there, they're looking around at all the underwater sea life, you know. And Davy and Goliath is stop motion animated, you know.
Yes.
The fish were not. They suddenly just cut to real film of fish, of real fish swimming around underwater. So you've got like puppet Davy going, hey, Dad, look at that fish. And then they just cut to they're just showing like a coral reef and millions of fish swimming around. And then they cut to the confused clay dog up on the deck. It was fantastic. Jeep in the Deep.
I almost feel like this is just some kind of, like, crazy imagining. This is a show that really happened.
I was a little disappointed that on our way to the Monkees that our car didn't roll overboard and we didn't get to go down underwater and see the fish like Davy did. It's a great, great episode. Everybody watch Davy and Goliath, Jeep in the Deep.
This is something I want to go see now. Yeah, I did not know it was a thing.
Slums of Beverly Hills, Russian Doll, Northern Exposure, The Jeffersons. I'm just throwing that in because why not? And Jeep in the Deep. All right, those are your assignments.
Yes.
It's going to be a long night.
Those are excellent action items right now.
Yes. So we're on the ferry, and Felicity has taken this ferry back and forth to Long Island several times in the last few years. I have not. I found something on the ferry that she had never noticed. They have a bar.
Oh.
She had no idea. So
all this time.
We're in this, like, the big main chamber of the boat, and it's just, like, seats and weird people and their little children and babies and kids are running around and there's dogs and it's just this sea of horrifying humanity. And I get up to walk around, I try to get a little distance from the teeming masses. And then I see this big sign on a door. It says cocktail lounge.
Yes.
I said, what? Is that a joke? And I walk through it and suddenly it's quiet.
It's a whole new world.
And it's adults.
and they were keeping it from you, like a big secret?
I thought it might have been a mirage, like I'd been at sea too long, like a mermaid. It turned out I just stepped overboard thinking I was walking into a cocktail lounge. But no, I'm pretty sure this was real. So that made the ferry ride a little more tolerable. We had a lovely time. Yeah, we get off on Long Island. Now we're on the island. Now we have to acclimate to island life, you know?
Gonna be like the islanders now.
Yeah, oh yeah, gotta go native. So we meet up with our friends. We have dinner. They have a theater. We go into this theater, and it's Mickey and Mike. And it's that same band, you know that band. And it's even gotten better. Like, Mike brought in a guy. He has, like, a pedal steel guitar player.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah, so they've got a guy doing pedal steel guitar. They have a guy doing banjo, switching between guitar and banjo, and even a horn. He breaks out, like, a trumpet or some kind of horn on a few things. Daydream Believer has the horn part on the end.
Yes,
now okay. They have a guy with a horn doing that.
That's beautiful.
They have Mickey's sister, Coco, is still there, of course.
I was going to ask about Coco.
Coco is there. This is Mickey's actual sister. Coco Dolenz is part of the Monkees' backup band. And also Mike's son, Christian, is a great guitarist. And Christian Nesmith is in the band as well. And I believe it's Christian's wife is Cersei. And she's the other backup singer. So it's a big, big band. There's like 11 people on stage, I think. And the set list is like your dream set list. If you just had to build a set list from Mickey and Mike together, they do everything that you'd want them to do.
So it's the Richard Marx approach. I know what you want to hear.
Yes.
I'm just going to play that for you.
They actually did mostly Richard Marx songs.
That's what I've always wanted out of a Monkees show.
Yeah, they open with Right Here Waiting. Mickey sings that one. They go right into Don't Mean Nothing. Mike sings that one. They do Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car, which is arguably a Billy Ocean song. They kind of put a Richard Marx spin on that, though.
Is there some piano involved?
Alan Arkin plays the piano, so okay. that'd be a yes.
Okay.
It's quite a show. Mike is having a great time. This is like the silliest I've seen Mike. He's goofing around through the whole show.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah. It was actually Mickey's birthday that night when we saw them. Mickey turned 74, I think, on Long Island.
Happy birthday, Mickey.
Happy birthday to Mickey. So they wheeled out like a cake and a thing for him during the show.
I thought you were going to say they wheeled out Mickey. I'm really glad.
They wheeled him out.
I'm really glad it was the cake. Yeah. You had me concerned there for a moment.
They wheeled him out. They explained, look, it's his birthday. He's 74. What do you want? So, you know, we're in bonus time with the Monkees at this point.
Yeah.
They give and they give, you know?
Yeah, this is the extended remix.
They put out a Christmas album last year.
Yes.
So we got a whole extra bonus album out of the Monkees, out of all four of them last year, because all four of them were on the Christmas album. So I certainly did not expect to see another Monkees concert with Mike Nesmith, and that's what we got last year, and the makeup dates for what got canceled this year. So worth a trip to Long Island. Even if you have to ride the weird ferry.
Just go to the place that has beverages.
You find the beverage area. They'll take care of you there. You got the grizzled old bartender, you know? You've seen some grizzled bartenders in your time.
Yes.
You got to see the guy on the ferry. Imagine the bartender that works the Long Island ferry. That's a whole other level of grizzled. It was outstanding. Other than that, I think the only other thing I've done recently is I went to the new Marvel movie. You know, they're cranking out these Marvel movies.
Yes.
We love them all.
I can hardly keep track.
I've seen every one of them. I don't think you have.
I have not.
You've seen a few.
I've caught a few in recent times.
How many have you seen?
I could count on maybe one hand.
Yeah, you've seen Guardians.
Yeah. One and two.
Guardians I've 1, seen Guardians 2.
Wonder Woman, I've seen.
Hang on, Cornflake.
That's DC, aren't they?
That's DC.
Black Panther?
Black Panther is Marvel, yep.
X-Men?
X-Men is Marvel, but not part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They're off doing their own thing.
They get caught on so many technicalities.
So complicated. Strangely, Slums of Beverly Hills does count as the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So I just have to see that.
I think Alan Arkin is one of the Norse gods, like Thor.
And I've seen some of the Spider-Man movies.
Yes. Spider-Man, the most recent Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man Homecoming, that's part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I've not seen the most recent
one. The other ones are not.
Darn it! I have no cred.
Well, they made a new one, Captain Marvel. As we're recording, I just saw Captain Marvel last night. Captain Marvel, I knew very little about going in. I knew that there have been several different Captain Marvels within Marvel Comics over the years, and outside Marvel Comics. Because Captain Marvel, to me, when I hear the name Captain Marvel, I'm thinking Shazam.
Right.
Because the guy's name was Captain Marvel, and then yes. he would yell Shazam. Like right. The little kid would change into Captain Marvel by yelling Shazam. So that's Captain Marvel.
Right.
Then Marvel Comics comes out with their own Captain Marvel, and Marvel Comics registered the trademark, so they own the name.
Ah.
So DC was not allowed to have a comic book called Captain Marvel. They could have the character, but that's why they called the comic book Shazam. And a few years ago, they just gave up. They surrendered, and they said, all right, you know what? His name is Shazam. So he's not even called Captain Marvel anymore in DC Comics.
He's just called Shazam.
They call him Shazam. I don't like it.
Me neither. Who wants to be called Shazam?
But meanwhile, we got Marvel Comics. They have Captain Marvel. That's what this new movie's about. I went in knowing nothing because I don't watch trailers.
Yeah, you avoid them so hard.
I avoid trailers like nobody else avoids trailers. And my feeling is all these Marvel Cinematic Universe movies have been great, or at least pretty good. I've enjoyed them all. So you don't have to sell me on going to see it. I'm going to go see it. So why would I want to have the whole movie ruined for me in advance?
Right. Something... Especially when movie trailers have a tendency to show the best parts.
Trailers are out of control. They show you the whole movie.
Yeah.
Well, not me. Even when I go to the movie,
you
when
all avoid the trailers.
On, I crank up my headphones so I can't hear, and I just play with my phone until the actual movie's going to start. I wait until I get the elbow from the mayor. Hey, pay attention.
Team back in now.
I could not tell you what previews they showed before Captain Marvel last night, because I've got REO Speedwagon cranked up as loud as it can go.
How did you not just spend the whole rest of the night listening to REO Speedwagon?
I kind of created my own soundtrack to Captain Marvel.
Ah.
So I enjoyed the movie visually, but what I was hearing was that I can't fight this feeling anymore.
Yes.
Nevertheless, it was really good. I think you would like it.
I think I would too.
In between the Shazam Captain Marvel, which goes back to the early 1940s, and the Marvel Comics Captain Marvel, in the late 60s or mid to late 60s, this other weird little company came out with their own character called Captain Marvel, and it was bizarre. And in honor of the movie coming out, I have one issue of that comic book, and I pulled it out of my giant box of comics. Check this out, Cornflake. This is Captain Marvel, as published in, I think, 1966.
Oh, that is weird.
This is Captain Marvel. It's a guy in, like, a purple jumpsuit.
With detachable limbs.
He yells, split. Instead of yelling Shazam, he yells the word split. And then his arms and his legs and his head all come flying apart. So then he can beat up a bunch of villains who are running away all at the same time by sending his arms and legs flying off in different directions.
What could possibly go wrong?
It was so weird. And they called him Captain Marvel.
Yes, I guess that does add to the weirdness.
This was a whole weird little company where the guy that created these comics was just grabbing existing character names and just using them in his comics. Because like he named a character Plastic Man, he named a character Dr. Fate, named a character Dr. Doom. He would just use... guy was doing whatever he wanted. But this is kind of notoriously one of the goofiest things that happened in comics in the 60s was this other Captain Marvel, the guy that yelled split.
He is shooting his extremities off in all directions and he's doing it on purpose.
Yes. This Captain Marvel that splits into pieces is a robot from another planet.
Oh, okay.
That explains everything.
All right. So that is, because I was trying to figure out how his circulatory system would continue to work. Like, I was thinking...
I like that you're concerned about his health from a physiological standpoint.
Not biologically sound.
Yeah, it doesn't make a bit of sense to send your limbs flying apart, but that's what this guy did. He is a robot from another planet. So now it all makes sense.
Their planet's weird.
Why can't we get this guy in a movie? I went to see Captain Marvel yesterday. I didn't see this guy splitting apart. It was a girl. They tricked me.
I don't know what kind of movies you watch, Kevin, but I don't want to see that. Keep your arms and legs attached, please, sir.
I really liked the movie, but I think I would have liked it even more if they'd gone with this Captain Marvel, the split guy.
I'm looking at him and I want to, like, put his arms back on. It's like he malfunctioned.
No, it gets worse, because to really rub it in, to really stick it to this guy, to our Captain Marvel, the guy that splits apart, the original Captain Marvel, Shazam, he's getting a movie next month. A Shazam movie's coming out.
Oh, and they're calling it Shazam.
They're calling it Shazam. Oh, yeah.
And they're calling him Shazam.
I'm going to go see it, of course. I love Shazam. Right. I love the real DC Captain Marvel. But isn't it weird that the two Captain Marvel movies, Captain Marvel from Marvel and Shazam from DC, they're coming out within a month of each other?
Mm.
Isn't that crazy?
Hmm.
But look who's getting locked out in the cold, though, is this dude from the 60s.
I don't feel bad for him.
You don't like this guy?
It's creeping me out.
He's super creepy. Look at him.
He looks like he should be driving a van.
This is number two, I think. I think I have Captain Marvel number two here. And he's yelling, I'll fight you all at the same time. Split! And then he splits apart and beats everybody up.
Can you even imagine if something went wrong and your right arm goes back in the socket of where your left leg was?
Yeah, I wonder if they ever did a story where he reattached but all mixed up. So he had like a foot head.
Yes. That guy looks like he's totally prone to foot head.
I can see that happening. But at this rate of a Captain Marvel movie a month, we will get the split guy in a movie in May, right?
I'm not going to hold my breath.
Allow me to have this little dream, please. Anyway, I recommend the new Captain Marvel. And I'm sure, as usual, when these big superhero movies come out, all the other podcasts on the network will be speaking in detail about Captain Marvel. I can't believe we've given this much attention to Captain Marvel, because usually
this is out of character for us.
Yeah, we're so out of touch. Usually we're talking about the Love Boat while everybody else is talking about Captain America.
You're so generous, because when Kevin says we're out of touch, what he really means is Cornflake is out of touch.
But I know that many, many other ESO Network shows will be giving you all kinds of Captain Marvel coverage. A lot going on the network lately. We have a new show, Nerdlanta, just joined the network, I believe. Nerdlanta.
That was another new show that joined recently, well,
Spooky,
too.
Spooky Dudes
right.
is a new show. That's about horror movies. And then Nerdlanta, they're live. They do the show in front of an audience from a live venue in Atlanta.
Whoa.
Every month or whatever their schedule is, twice a month. I don't know how often they come out.
That's hardcore.
But they go to like an arcade bar or something. They have
a barcade.
A couple of different venues, I think, they do the show live from in front of people. You know, humans. We don't do that.
Not when we can avoid it.
That would not go well.
We've done it.
We should do a show from the Long Island Ferry.
I like boats.
Next time the monkeys play Long Island, let's make that happen.
Okay.
Elsewhere on the network, Nerd Bliss.
Yes.
Another nerd show. We got Nerdlanta. We have the Cigar Nerds. There's Nerd Bliss. But Nerd Bliss is celebrating their 100th episode.
Congratulations, yeah. Nerd Bliss.
Congratulations to our friends at Nerd Bliss. I met those people at Dragon Con last year.
I'm jealous. They seem really cool.
They're cool. They're fun. Yeah, I had a good time talking to Nerd Bliss.
I like them.
Meanwhile, we're just trying to hold down our weird little corner of the ESO network. Tell people where to find us.
We're at flopcast.net. We're on Twitter, where our handle is @flopcast. We're at facebook.com/flopcast. And we even found our way onto Instagram. Imagine that. The_flopcast is where you find us there.
Yes, that's where to find us. Meanwhile, Cornflake, let's act like Captain Marvel and split for this week. And we'll see you next week.
Peace and cookies and limbs flying everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, it's Sean from the Soulforge podcast. Join me and the gang as we guide you through the adventures of living. Topics include sex, loss, joy, and stupid things we've done for love. It's life, the universe, and everything. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, the ESO Network, soulforgepodcast.com, and everywhere else you find podcasts. The Soulforge podcast. Let's find out together.
Cornflake, it's the secret Flopcast after show. This is the part of the show that you don't hear unless you listen to the promos. Hello.
Yay.
I think a lot of people bail out.
They're like,
they're just going to run commercials for the rest of the show. I'm not going to listen to that. Then they leave, and this is what they're missing.
Right.
Arguably the best part of the show.
We don't bother to tell them.
It's a secret.
Yes.
What did you bring us today for the after show?
I figured we were going to spend the rest of the after show reaffixing our limbs after that outro there.
After our big split at the end? Yeah. That got messy because we're not robots from another planet.
No, we are not.
Oops.
So I can give an update on my New Year's resolution.
Oh, yeah. Whatever happened to Cornflake on the road? Once a month, you're going to visit an amazing new place you'd never been before and share with us. And we've only gotten one Cornflake on the Road segment thus far, and we're like in late March now.
The truth is laziness, but what I what I think I'd like the world to think is that the weather makes it kind of difficult to get around at this time of year.
So we're blaming the weather.
And I hadn't factored that into my once a month trip plan.
We're blaming the weather, but that's a lie.
Mostly.
Because look at me, I was sailing all over.
Yeah, so I definitely need to be doing more getting out.
Do you have things in the works? You have ideas? That sounds like a no.
Not good ideas.
You didn't answer right away. You had to think about it.
Well, I have ideas, but they're not good ones.
I'm quoting Lucy from Charlie Brown Christmas.
Of course you are.
So you have some bad ideas for where to go.
Including trying to find some new karaoke haunts.
Looking for karaoke.
Let's go to a karaoke place I've never been before.
Is that really in the spirit of Cornflake on the Road that you're going to tell us you went to karaoke?
If I'm going to karaoke, I always go to the same old place.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to check out some new places. But yeah, that's why I say my ideas are not very good.
Okay, I see what you mean now.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the T Public store, which can all be found at ESONetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.